Welcome to Saints Alive, where we take you with us to meet God's most heroic followers. The saints were just ordinary boys and girls who allowed God's love to transform them into real-life superheroes. Their love for God changed our world. Did you know that God has sent you here to become a saint? It's up to you to choose love over fear, to be courageous, faithful, and kind. The choice to become a saint won't be easy, but it will be worth it. So listen closely and open your hearts. These real-life tales of the saints from the past may just inspire you how to live your story. Let's go on this adventure together. This episode is sponsored by Books for Catholic Kids. Is your family looking for exciting stories of faith and courage? Each book is packed with adventure and unforgettable characters. Families love these books for read-aloud and bedtime stories. The bestseller, Heavenly Hosts, Eucharistic Miracles for Kids, and the award-winning Lucia of Fatima make perfect Christmas gifts. To learn more, visit KatherineSwigart.com. That's KatherineSwigart.com. Catholic Family Crate and Saints Alive have teamed up to create an interactive listening experience with a collection of saint coloring pages. These pages are hand-illustrated, free, and you can download and print them from any computer. Color along by listening to Saints Alive by downloading these coloring sheets at catholicfamilycrate.com/saintsalive. Again, that link is catholicfamilycrate.com/saintsalive. If you love listening to Saints Alive, please consider donating so that we can continue to create these episodes. You can donate anywhere from $2 to $30 a month with some fun perks to go along with your patronage. Check out our Patreon account, which you can find through the donation page on our website at www.saintsalivepodcast.com. Some saints lived simple, humble lives. Others lived radically, challenging the norm and marching against the tide. Today, we will hear the story of a man such as this. St. Charles Borromeo only lived to be 46, but is known as one of the heroes of the Catholic Reformation. The Catholic Reformation took place during the 16th and 17th centuries and was a monumental reform of the Church, following the Protestant Reformation. But our story has to start at the beginning. You see, legend has it that the night Charles was born, something incredible happened.
Count Borromeo. Count Borromeo.
Yes, come in. Any news?
Yes, at last. The little one has arrived.
And?
It's a boy.
A boy? And Margaret, is she?
She is well. Resting now. All is well. Congratulations. Now, you should get some rest.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it must be in the middle of the night. A boy. Another boy.
And it was in this moment that the Count looked out and noticed a light on the lake just below. He looked down from the high castle, squinting, trying to make out the light that seemed to grow brighter.
I know I haven't slept all night, but do you see that? I've never seen anything like it.
Do I see? Why, yes. Oh, it's a reflection. Look above. It's a star.
The Count looked up to see the most magnificent star sparkling just above the castle. It was indescribably beautiful, casting down beams of light over the castle grounds. It was October 2nd, 1538, and on this night, a star shone brightly to welcome the boy that would become a saint. Years passed, and the baby born under the star grew into a promising young man. His name was Charles, and his life was joyful, growing up with five siblings in a decadent castle on Lake Maggiore in Italy. It was also luxurious. As son of a count, he had servants to meet his every need. But Charles desired simplicity, and more than that, God. His mind was constantly pondering ideas, thinking and praying. When he was seven, he bravely decided to tell his father about the desire of his heart.
Yes?
Father, may I, could I speak with you?
Of course. Slow down, Charles. Your mind is going faster than you're able to speak. I can't have the son of a count speaking with a stutter.
Yes, Father.
Now, what can I do for you?
I have a request. You see, I know I was made for the priesthood, Father, and I want to mark myself as such.
You wish to be tonsured? Are you certain?
Yes, I'm certain.
Seems as though you're ready to make your way in the world.
I am. I know this is just the start of my journey for the Lord.
It would seem so. I will write to your uncle, Cardinal Medici, to inquire about you studying at the Benedictine Abbey.
Thank you, Father. I would love that.
Now run along. Your childhood is nearly over. I always knew you would grow up too quickly.
Back in the 16th century, young boys were given a shaved head called a tonsure that was an external mark of their commitment to religious life. And so, Charles had his hair shaved and packed his bags to study in Milan. Milan was a rowdy and broken city, filled with corruption and debauchery. But Charles remained committed to his studies and grew to be a brilliant young man. But it wasn't just his mind that grew. He let Christ consume his heart. His strength of character was tangible to everyone he met.
I knew I would find you here.
Vincenzo, you always know where to look.
It's too easy, either the church or the library. One of these days, I like to see you with your head outside the pages of a book, and you're always carrying around that picture of Thomas More. Your youth is being wasted. I can't make sense of it.
I feel compelled to study, driven to study. I have to sharpen my mind in order to help the church. Vincenzo, you and I both know there is an urgent need of reformation.
And you reform the church from the confines of this quiet library?
Yes. I know this is what Christ desires. If a tiny spark of God's love already burns within you, do not expose it to the wind, for it may get blown out. Stay quiet with God. Do not spend your time in useless chatter. Do not give yourself to others so completely that you have nothing left for yourself.
But where is the fun in that?
There is always joy in doing God's will. I know my time will come to put what I've learned into action, but until then, I must prepare.
You speak as if you're going to war.
In some ways, I feel like I am.
All right, I'll leave you to it. I do admire you, Charles. I don't envy you.
The call to action came even sooner than Charles had been expecting. His uncle Medici, who had been cardinal, was elected pope and became Pope Pius IV. One of the first actions he took as pope was to beckon for his brilliant young nephew to come work in Rome. Charles was only 23, but took on the role of Secretary of State and Cardinal Deacon. This was a tumultuous time in the church. Kings, popes, bishops, and princes were all confused about who to follow. Some kings recognized the pope as head of the church, others didn't. What's worse, the clergy in the church itself didn't have the proper education or understanding of how to live. The schism of the Protestant Reformation had enormous consequences, and to reconcile it all, the highest members of clergy met for the Council of Trent. They met for a total of 17 years, and Pope Pius knew that his nephew, Charles, was just the man they needed to bring what had been put down on paper to reality. Charles went to work right away, working 20-hour days and hardly stopping to eat and rest. The church was in desperate need of his aid.
Another letter for you.
Thank you. And how are you today?
Me? I'm well. Thank you for asking. Forgive me, but I must say, after all these months working in Rome, you haven't lost your charity towards those you meet. To most, I'm nothing but a courier.
You are a beloved child of God, and a great help to me. Charity is that with which no man is lost, and without which no man is saved.
Well, your kindness means so much to me. Here's your letter from today. I'll see you tomorrow.
Let me see. The formation of priests must be more than this. Thank you for the update. You see, this is the crux of the problem. Our priests have no formal education, no training requirements. We'll never overcome our disunity if we aren't unified for our priests. You see, a priest needs deep roots. They need to blossom and grow, and they need their seeds of knowledge to be planted deep within the earth. They need more than just school. They need their seeds planted. Latin for seeds is semen. A seminary! Priests need a seminary!
And that is how seminaries for priests came to be. Charles established seminaries so that priests could receive formal education and training. He refined sacred art within the church and put the words written in Trent into action. He was reforming the church from the inside out and couldn't wait for the day when he too would become a priest. But all of this was put on hold with a letter from home.
Good morning. Shirley News from Trent. Oh, it's from my family.
Are you all right? You look quite pale.
It's my eldest brother, Frederico. He's dead. I must go at once.
Should I call for a carriage?
No, I need to get there as quickly as I can. Thank you. And take care while I'm gone.
Charles's parents had died years before, and since then his eldest brother, Frederico, had been in charge of the estate. He raced home on horseback, galloping through dark woods and quiet pastures, until he finally arrived home to grieve with his family.
My dear Charles, how long has it been?
Too long. I'm so sorry, Vitaliano. I still can't believe he's gone.
Neither can I. Come inside. You must be starved, and we have much to discuss.
Yes, I'm here to help with anything. Please make me of use.
Well, Charles, surely you must know.
Know what?
Well, you're next in line. You must stay and run this household. It's your duty.
Charles looked at his brother and felt the eyes of his family on him. He had been away for so long, been so deeply committed to reforming the church, they had entirely forgotten that he may be beckoned back home.
Charles?
Oh, come now, Charles, you're a high church leader, stammering as if you were a boy again. What are you trying to say?
I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
I know it's difficult to understand, but you see, Christ hasn't just been working on my mind. He's working on my heart. And I want to give myself fully to the church as a priest.
We'll discuss this over some wine. Let's not say silly things in haste. We're all grieving. You don't mean it.
I do. I mean what I say, Vitaliano. I love you. I love this family, but it is not my calling. I can't deny my vocation. God created me to be a priest.
It wasn't easy, but with time, the Borromeo family came to understand and accept that he was made for more. After a week at home with his family, Charles left his younger brother in charge and returned to Rome. After his years of work and waiting, Charles was finally ordained a priest, and soon after became a bishop. He was assigned to stay in Rome, but Charles knew God was calling him elsewhere.
Yes? Ah, Bishop Charles, do come in.
Thank you, Holy Father.
To what do I owe the pleasure?
It's my assignment.
Do you need more servants? Better living quarters? Say the word and it's yours.
No, it's actually the opposite. I need to go to Milan.
You can't be serious. Milan is one of the most corrupt cities in the country. It's filled with sin and chaos.
That's exactly why I need to go. What good was the Council of Trent if we don't put what we've learned into action?
But you're above all that messiness. You're a member of the high clergy.
I am nothing more than God's servant. Please.
Very well. I shall make arrangements for you to live in the finest palace in Milan.
No. I don't want a life of luxury. The people of Milan need to see a humble priest, not a stately clergyman.
Very well. You can live in the attic of the palace. I'll make arrangements for you to leave next week.
Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you so much. I know this is where Christ is calling me.
Charles, one more thing.
Yes?
They're going to come for you, Charles. You'll overturn their sinful ways and many will become your enemy. Just be careful.
I will. Pray for me.
The city of Milan was enormous. There were 800 parishes and 200 chapels, thousands of priests, monks, and consecrated women. It was an overwhelming city to run with the numbers alone. But the real struggle was the sin that had taken root in its underbelly. It had grown like a weed, infesting every corner. Charles knew the first place to renew was within his own heart. Charles fasted and lived almost as a monk in the drafty small room in the attic. He worked tirelessly, visiting every single parish in the city and changing the hearts of the people, first by his example. And though he was beloved by many, he was hated by some. Just as Pope Pius had warned, they did come for him. On a cold evening in November, a plan was made to end his life.
You sure this is the church?
This is the one. You have your rifle?
I got it. You got my money?
You'll get your reward when the job is finished. Make it quick. And Paolo, don't get caught.
Paolo hid the rifle within the folds of his coat and looked around once more before darting up the stone steps of the beautiful cathedral. The church was warm. The soft glow of candles illuminated the faces of Mary and Jesus on the stained glass windows. Charles was in the midst of celebrating Mass, and every pew was filled with people, mothers and fathers, nuns and widows, children and the elderly.
Mysterium Fidei.
Paolo eyed the packed church and decided there was only one way to do this. He marched down the center of the aisle and only stopped when he was feet from Charles. Before anyone had time to realize what was happening, he pulled the rifle from his waist and fired two shots straight at the heart of the young bishop. Bishop Charles collapsed on the cold marble floor, people clamoring around him, the faces of his parishioners blurred before him, their cries and yells echoing in the candlelit church. Everything was fading from view. The voices became distant. The light seemed to dim. Suddenly, everything came back into focus, sharper than before. Charles gasped and put his hand to his chest.
Please, please, I'm all right.
Oh, Bishop, we must take you to the hospital at once.
Charles looked down at his vestments, only to see two faint tears of the cloth at the line of his heart.
It seems as though my work is not yet finished. Now please, all of you, return to your pew. The Mass is not over.
Paolo stood behind a pillar, while crowds of people clamored around the bishop. He watched the bullets hit the bishop. He never missed a shot. None of this made sense. He looked above him at the face of the child Jesus in the stained glass window, looking mercifully down upon him. He stumbled backwards and ran before anyone could see him.
Paolo, wait, Paolo. Don't you want your payment? I heard the shots. A job well done.
No, I don't want any of your filthy money. I don't want any of this. It didn't strike him. I was feet away. It didn't strike.
What do you mean? You missed the shot?
No, I never miss a shot. This I can't explain. But I'm through with this way of life.
Charles lived a heroic life, never fearing his enemies or the consequences of fighting sin. But the height of his heroism came with the choice he made in the year 1576. He was walking home from Mass when he ran into one of his beloved friends from Rome.
Charles!
Philip Neri.
The Archbishop himself. Bum 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 bum. So good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Wonderful. This city has changed so much in a short time. It's a privilege to witness it all.
It seemed like an impossible task. How can I follow your lead?
Well, I found that you have to first preach by the way that you live. If you don't, people will notice that you say one thing and live otherwise, and your words will bring only cynical laughter and a derisive shake of the head.
It's true.
And through it all, stay cheerful.
Always. A joyful heart is more easily made perfect than a downcast one.
Exactly. Philip, it's wonderful to see you, but what brings you from Rome?
Well, to be honest, I came to check on you. Have you heard about this terrible illness?
Yes. Just in the last few days, I've seen so many succumb to it. And it seems like it's only just begun.
Yes, it's horrible. You know the clergy will evacuate the city, don't you?
I'm sure many will leave.
But you won't?
How could I? The people will need sacraments more than ever.
Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends.
You've been a great friend to me, Philip. I hope you know that.
Ah, but you see, it's your friendship that has changed me. I'll never forget it. I have to go, but my prayers are with you. Please, stay safe.
And you stay cheerful. We need your good sense of humor through times like these.
I will. This is goodbye for now. But just think, maybe someday we'll be remembered as saints that were friends, and we'll see each other in heaven again.
That is my prayer. Stay humble, my friend.
Within days, even hours, the city of Milan erupted in terror. The sickness was spreading like wildfire, and many were dying. The clergy and those that were wealthy fled the city. Through it all, Charles remained calm and prayed harder than ever before. His fellow priests fled for Rome. Charles helped them to the carriages, walking through a torrential downpour.
Archbishop, this is the last carriage leaving for Rome. Are you absolutely certain?
Yes, I must stay.
You won't make it out alive. Why sacrifice everything? You're young.
This is my vocation, to sacrifice everything for my people. I must stay with them, even if it means the end for me.
The carriage raced off into the rain, and Charles went to the chapel. Kneeling before the crucifix, he looked up at the face of Christ and knew that if Jesus gave everything, he could too. The next morning, he went out into the city to care for his people. He prayed over men and women that lay dying in the streets, carried bodies to graveyards and helped each person that he passed. The people of Milan knew he was brave, but they never expected this.
Have you seen him?
Seen who?
The Archbishop. He hasn't stopped in days. I've seen him walking around in his black cassock, praying with people, feeding them. It's only a matter of days till he drops himself.
Oh, bless him. The poor man. He doesn't stand a chance.
Those who weren't sick stayed quarantined inside their homes, terrified to leave. Charles knew they were in need of the sacraments just as much as those who were dying, and set up 19 altars around the city of Milan. He celebrated the Mass in public squares, bringing the Eucharist to the people through cracked windows and in hospital beds. A total of 17,000 people died over the course of the plague in Milan. Charles never stopped. He went to the hospitals, the streets, and the churches, and somehow he survived. It was nothing short of a miracle. Years passed, and Charles continued to pour all of himself into his vocation as Archbishop. The people of Milan never forgot what he did for them through their darkest of times. Charles died on November 3rd, 1584, when he was only 46, and left us with these words.
If we wish to make any progress in the service of God, we must begin every day of our life with new eagerness. We must keep ourselves in the presence of God as much as possible and have no other view or end in all our actions but the divine honor.
St. Charles Borromeo is the patron saint of catechists, bishops, cardinals, and seminarians, and his feast day is celebrated on November 4th. Charles was one of the primary leaders of the Catholic Reformation. He established seminaries and served as a key player in the Council of Trent. No matter how high he was ranked within the clergy or how much he accomplished, he remained humble. He was charitable towards everyone he encountered and laid down his life for his flock. Is that you can be charitable to the people in your life. Jesus taught us that whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. How can you find the face of Christ in each person you encounter? Maybe it's in praying for the intentions of your friends and family, or boldly proclaiming the truth. St. Charles is an incredible saint, and he is there to guide you to Christ. St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alex.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Tanner.
And we are the team of Saints Alive. We are so grateful for all of our wonderful listeners and need your help to keep this going. Please consider donating to our ministry through our Patreon account, which you can find through our website at www.saintsalivepodcast.com. A special thanks to our new patrons who are donating $5 a month and up. These are families and individuals who donate to help us to continue Saints Alive. Ashley and Matthew Nelson and their children, Alexandra, Elizabeth, Isabella, and Olivia. Craig, Sharon, and Clara Deutsch. The Johnstone family and the Wicks family. Irene, Lucy, Wandishin. Oliver, Ray, and Simeon McKinley. Jude and Stella Grissetti-Gariziak. The Nelson family, Mia, Madeline, Matthew, Molly, Melvin, and Marie, the Lohman family, Elsa, Leo, Ian, and Seth, Renzo and Fabia Elias, Joseph, Cecilia, Juliet, and Felicity Simino, Aaliyah Einer, the Swigart family, Catalina and Agustin Crespo, Gianna and Gemma Farina, Max, Zelly, and Louis James, the Poulin family, the Mathor family, the Decker family, the Albert family, and the Wood family. Thank you all so much. Make sure to tune into our next episode on St. Lucie, premiering December 12th.